much. Have you been blessed so far?
Amen.
Amen. Can you handle a little bit more? You're not full yet, are you? All right. All right. Well, folks, I cannot lie to you. As a child growing up, I loved to get presents. Did you like getting presents when you were a kid? Oh, there's just something about it. It's so exciting to wonder what's in them and to open them up. But now that I'm older, I get more excited about giving presents than I do about getting them. Do you like to give presents to others? Do you like to give gifts? It's just an exciting time. I mean, it's an awesome feeling when you get this type of look as they start opening it up. You know you've hit a home run with that one, don't you? But the funniest thing in gift giving that I've noticed is if you buy a present for a really, really young child. I mean, they're just getting to the point where they can open gifts, and you get them this special present, and you wrap it up, and you give it to them, and they get the paper ripped off, and you excitedly take it out of the box for them, and you present it to them with a brand new gift, and then they prefer to play with the box that it came in. Have you ever seen that happen? Or they want to play with the wrapping paper that it came in. They want the box instead of the gift. Sometimes children get confused as to what the most important part of the gift was. What about us older folks? Do we get confused sometimes as to what's important? Do we sometimes lose focus on what's most important in life? It happens sometimes, doesn't it? Even when it comes to gifts that God gives, sometimes we lose focus on the best thing. Let's continue our sermon series on Moses with a look at what we focus on in life. And as we do this, you can sense it in the air, can't you? You can almost smell it like the first breeze of spring. I can just sense that it's been too long for all of you. You've sat here week after week and you've thought, when can we participate in the sermon? And so it's time for another episode of, say it with me, Congregation Participation. All right. I know you've been waiting for it. You've been sitting out there week after week thinking, oh, put me in, coach. I'm ready to be a part of this. And this time, today, everybody is going to participate in the sermon. Don't worry, the deacons have been instructed to lock and barricade the doors at this time of the service. Okay, have any of you ever done word association tests before? Have you ever done those things where they say a word to you and without thinking, you just respond back? Have you done those type of things before? We're going to try that right now. We're going to do one just all together. So if I were to say to you without thinking, if I said good, you would say why? Why? Just because I'm standing up here? I called you all good. Oh, shameful. Okay. Well, do you have your bulletins there? I think there's a spot in there for notes. So get a pen, or maybe you just do it out loud with your friends around you. I'm going to give you some words, and I don't want you to think. No thought. I just want you to write down the first thing that comes to your mind as we give you these words association. And again, no thinking about it. Just write down or say, whisper to the person next to you if you don't have a pen or something. Let's all take part in the sermon today. So, seem you're all getting ready. You got your pens. Again, no thought, just write. So, I'll give you the words up on the screen. I give you the word dog. What do you put down? Just write it down. What did you come up with? If I say to you bass, what's the first thing that pops into your mind? Write that down. If I give you the word bass, what about mom? What do you write down if I say mom? What do you get? Don't think about it. Just write. No thoughts. If I say to you, boy, what do you put next to it? I give you boy. Pen. What about the word pen? What do you associate with pen? Don't think. Just write. Hot. If I give you the word hot, what do you write down? Just write it. Think it. Whisper it. Mount Sinai. Don't think, just write. First thing that comes to your mind. All right. How many of you on that last one, let's figure out what we had. What did we write for that last one? We got quite a few. I heard mountain. I heard Moses. Law. I think I got law quite a bit. Commandments. How many of you wrote down law or commandments on that? Whoa, look at those hands. Look at those hands. Yeah. God's law becomes our focus when we talk about Mount Sinai and that experience of Moses up on the mountain. But in focusing on the law at Mount Sinai, have we forgotten something else that God gave on the mountain? See, what we focus on in life determines what we miss. Now, the Ten Commandments that we find in Exodus chapter 20 are important. They're crucial to the Christian life. They've been spoken by God Himself, written with His own finger, it tells us in Exodus 31, verse 18. And the New Testament talks to us about God's law. It says in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good." And yet, there's a controversy among believers about God's law. Some that say it's not needed anymore. Some that say it's done away with. Some that say we don't even need to follow it. I believe that controversy comes because when it comes to the law, many of us, like the child so excited about the box and the wrapping paper, we've lost focus on what else God gives us. Years ago, you may have heard this, there was a big controversy about government buildings, and some of them had God's Ten Commandment law up on the walls of government secular buildings. There was controversy, some saying we should take those off. We don't need those up there. Separation of church and state. So there was all sorts of controversy about taking down God's Ten Commandments. And others said, no, they should be up there. Well, I was in a class at that time, in a master's class, with an Adventist professor, and he was talking to us about this controversy in government buildings. And he said, I get to go around to a lot of different Adventist churches, and when I'm there, just about all of them at some place in their church, they all have a display of the Ten Commandments up on the wall, a picture or some sort of depiction of the Ten Commandments. And this Adventist professor, to a room full of Adventist pastors, said, I tell you what, every time I go into a church and see a display of the Ten Commandments up on the wall, I just want to tear it right down off the wall. Whoa. There was silence in the room. And if you can make a room full of Adventist pastors quiet, you have accomplished something. All of us were sitting there and our faces were kind of like this. Did he just say what we thought he said? And someone finally got up the courage to say, Professor, why do you want to take down the pictures of the Ten Commandments? And what's wrong with displaying the Ten Commandments? And the professor replied and said, nothing. There's nothing wrong with it, except we don't show it all. And that's the problem. He said, our displays are incomplete. We start our displays too late in the text. If you got your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn them on if they turn on, or open them up if they open up, and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, and I'll show you what he shared with us. See, when we show the Ten Commandments, and you can kind of see it up there, although it's hard to read, we always begin where? When we show the Ten Commandments, we always begin in verse 3, which says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's always how they start, whenever we've got a picture up on the wall. And he said, when we're talking about God's law, we have to start in verse 2. He said, and we never do. And verse 2 says what? I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. As humans, we skip over the beginning of what God spoke and what he wrote, and we focus on straight to the human doing or not doing part of things. Don't we? But God began by saying, I'm the one who saved you. I brought you out of slavery. I brought you out of Egypt. Then he said, now follow me, obey me, do this. In God's word, both Old and New Testaments, salvation comes first, and then comes the call to follow and obey. But like the child infatuated with the box, we forget something else that God gave, and we get straight to, what am I supposed to do? And we forget and we lose focus that God gave us that message at the beginning. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And there's something else that Moses received on the mountaintop, and we forget about it. Most of you, when you wrote down Mount Sinai, you said law. But there's something else that God gave on that mountain. Something just as important as God's law, maybe even more so. There on Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments. And we have in the Bible one chapter for them. Actually, it's not even a full chapter, covers it, just 17 verses. But then if you continue in Exodus, if you turn from Exodus 20 and go to Exodus chapter 25, scan your finger real quick and look at Exodus 25 and 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. What's being talked about there? What do you find in Exodus 25 to Exodus 31? We had 17 verses for the law, and then we've got 6 chapters on instructions to Moses on how to build the sanctuary. Have you ever spent a lot of time reading this section of Scripture? Have you done that? I don't know about you, but when I get a chance to get my hands on some detailed building instructions, I tell you what, that's some good reading right there, right? How many of you can't wait to get building instructions and just pore over them night after night? Maybe not. Why does God have Moses write down all this stuff? Let's find out. We get these details about building a sanctuary, which God also gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. But again, when I asked you to write down a word associated with Mount Sinai, I'm guessing, is there anybody who wrote down sanctuary? Is there anybody here? Nobody did. Well, let's see why. Why build the sanctuary? What is its focus? Our scripture reading today was Exodus 25, verse 8, and tells us why God wanted this built. Exodus 25, verse 8, that says, let them build me a sanctuary, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. So the simple answer to this very complex building structure is God saying, I want to be with you. I want to be with my people. The tabernacle, the sanctuary, was also built to show how people can be with God. The sanctuary and what it was supposed to teach is also a gift from God and a gift that he gave to Moses on the mountain. But like children, sometimes we got focused on the wrong thing and we forgot what else God gave. After saving the people from slavery in Egypt, God calls them to obey him and to follow him. In Exodus chapter 19, if you turn with me there, let's picture this scene. God has saved them. Now he's told them that he wants a relationship with them. So Exodus 19 and verse 7, so Moses came and called all the elders of the people, laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. So he's calling them to follow him. And then the people reply in verse 8. And in verse 8 they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Sounds like a good answer, doesn't it? They say, yes, Lord, we will keep your law. We will obey. They say, we got this. You can trust us. No problemo. Lord, you can count on us. We're going to do it. How did the Israelites do when it came to obeying God? Terrible. Just like us. Amen. They were making a golden idol before Moses got down off the mountain. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Sounds good, but not true. I think a more honest answer, when God had presented to him his law and his plan and his covenant, they should have said, Lord, we want to obey, but we need some help. Isn't that what they should have said? Were the ancient Israelites able to perfectly obey and keep God's law? No. Are we able to, on our own, perfectly obey and keep God's law. No. They needed help, and we need help. This is why God gave another gift on the mountain. God's mountaintop gift of the sanctuary blueprints gives focus as to how God will help us. He gave his Ten Commandments on the mountain, but he also gave us the blueprints of how he would deal with our sin and how he would help when we broke the law. Romans 7, verse 7 says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except for the law." So the purpose of God's law is to reveal what sin is. We should never say that the law is done away with, because if it's done away with, well, then so is sin. But if we have the law, then we know what sin is. God revealed to us the problem on Mount Sinai, and then he showed Moses the solution to sin in the sanctuary. God told Moses to build the sanctuary, to build a courtyard and a structure for the holy place and the most holy place. Now, I want you to catch this, right? Don't miss this point. Who built the sanctuary? Was it Moses? That literally, you know, pounded it and put it together? It was not. Do you remember who it was? Do you remember these two fellas' names? You find them in Exodus 31. God says, "I have gifted Bezalel and Aholiab with skill to build." So God doesn't just gift leaders in order to get his work done. Amen? Now, I know all of you are thinking, as I mentioned, tomorrow we're going to be decorating these rooms for the journey to the cross. You all said, well, we know that Pastor Michael has been gifted with the gift of decoration and construction. Now, my wife, Jeanette, testify. Are those my spiritual gifts? She is shaking her head no. So don't be sitting out there thinking Pastor Michael can get this whole thing decorated. It's going to be beautiful. Pastor Michael knows that God has gifted some other people out there with the gift, and I could use your help tomorrow, 9 a.m. Get up early and come to church, even on a Sunday, because you're going to do ministry. God gives Moses instructions in Exodus 25 to 30 on the furnishings and the clothes for the sanctuary, 5 chapters on how to build this thing. He tells him to build the altar of burnt offering and the laver and put it in the courtyard. He says to build the table of showbread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense for the holy place. And then into the most holy place, the room that no one could go into except for the high priest, and only on one day of the year, he said to put the Ark of the Covenant, which would contain the Ten Commandment law. And what was all this for? Why did God give this to Moses to give to the people? Strangely enough, Exodus doesn't really say. We kind of understand the symbolism today because years later we got the book of Hebrews and the rest of the New Testament, and it kind of explains the symbolism, but it's not explained in Exodus. But it does bring to focus the most crucial teaching to the people. Why would somebody come to the sanctuary? Would you go to the sanctuary just because you wanted to take some pictures of it? Oh, it looks so cool. Did you go there because you just wanted to sing? Or you wanted to meet your friends and hang out there? No, you only went to the sanctuary because you had sinned. And every day, there were sacrifices that took place. The sanctuary services were given to reveal how God deals with sin when we break his law. So these sacrifices took place every day. Lambs, rams, bulls were all killed because of people's sins. You ever think about all those animals that died? You ever think about all the blood that went into a day's service at the sanctuary? The sanctuary teaches that dealing with human sin is a bloody, messy business. But God is willing to get messy and to get bloody for me and you. God was teaching them how they could be forgiven of their sins. God's simple sanctuary answer for sin and the broken law was that someone has to die. A sacrifice has to be paid because of sin. But sadly, over time, many people took this mountaintop gift from God and they got, again, focused on the wrong thing, like a child at Christmas, focused on the empty box. And humans became focused on the works of keeping the law. That still happens today, doesn't it? Humans even misunderstood the services there in the sanctuary, and they began to focus on the sacrifices instead of what it teaches. So that years later, listen to what God says through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats." God says, "I'm sick of your offerings," even though he told them to do it. The sacrifices were to show how sin's forgiven and to change the heart of the sinner when they left. But when humans begin to focus on our work over the meaning of the symbol, even something that God has ordained loses its meaning. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that even when we humans mess up, even when we get our heads stuck in a box that it shouldn't be, God sends another message, amen? He doesn't give up on us. He gives us a reminder of how he will save. And he told us that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. And I want you to actually physically turn there with me. So you got your Bible there. I want you to be able to mark it if you want. So turn to Romans 8 and verse 3. As people got confused on the purpose of the law, as they got confused as the purpose of the sacrifices, God says, "I'm going to keep teaching. They're going to get it if I keep trying." Romans 8, verse 3. "For what the law could not do, and that it is weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Have we lost the meaning of God's mountaintop message to Moses? What do we call Moses? If we're going to give him a nickname, most times we call him Moses the Lawgiver, Mount Sinai, Law. We don't, and that's certainly true, it's a good nickname. But what we focus on in life determines what we miss. We don't call him Moses the Builder, do we? And yet Moses built the greatest structure ever built by human hands. Not great because of the wealth, not great because of the size, but great because it illustrates how God can save sinful humans and one day will dwell with them forever. The building and the sacrifices pointed the people to the help that would come, and each animal that died was to point forward to the Messiah, who would ultimately die, the answer for the broken law. What have we done with God's mountaintop gifts of the law and the sanctuary? Have we focused on one to the expense of the other? Are we like the child content to play with an empty box when the true gift is left unwanted and unused? My friends, God's law shows us how we should live, keeping all of it, not half of it, not 9 out of 10, all. The law reveals our great need for help, amen, that we cannot do it alone. And then the sanctuary shows the answer for that need in the sacrifice of the Lamb, pointing to Christ as our only hope of glory. And when we accept Christ as our sacrifice for our sins, and as our Lord who we obey, then hallelujah, because then God grants to us his righteousness to cover up our filthy rags of righteousness. And that is our only hope. So what should we do today? What do I do today, Pastor? I encourage all of us to take our heads out of whatever box this world has given us, and to say, "Lord, I need you. You're our only hope. For that, my friends, is what Jesus has been longing to hear. Then thank him for all of his mountaintop gifts, especially the gift that he gave on the mountain called Calvary to deliver all his people from the slavery to sin. You see, Moses did not just bring Israel to their freedom from Egypt. God gave Moses the plans and the blueprints to show how we all can be free. We only must call out to Jesus and say, I need you. Help me. And if we will do that, he will hear our cry and he will help us. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for having a plan to deal with our sin, to deal with our mistakes. Thank you for giving us your law to point out where we've fallen. But Lord, thank you that you didn't just give the law on that mountain to point out our problem, but you also gave to Moses, your servant, the answer and the solution in the sanctuary that pointed to your son, who would come to save. Lord, your people still need you. We're still trapped in slavery to sin from time to time. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your righteousness this day. So we call out to you. We need you. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.